If you look at the success of a company like, let's say, Apple Computer or Google, right? So those are two huge companies. Oftentimes people look at the success of those companies, they look at their main product. With Google, it's Google Search, right? With Apple, it's probably cell phones as the main product that most people see. But what people don't see or what people don't realize oftentimes, and we see this all the time with real estate investors who are so locked into just one product or one way of making revenue, what they don't see is they see this underlying integrated product suite. Okay. An integrated product suite is basically several layers of products that all work together, but they also all tap different opportunities. They all tap different sources of revenue, different, they serve different problems that their prospects have. So as an example with Apple, once again, you buy the phone and then let's say you need a computer to do work on, right? So you buy a Mac and then they integrate the two together with iCloud and with other cool things. And then they have iTunes and they have the App Store. And now they have, you know, streaming music with that one with Dr. Dre, I can't remember the name of it. Long story short, they have this massive integrated product suite. Once you get in their circle, they have many, many, many ways to build value for you and make revenue from you, right? So what are you doing as a real estate investor or real estate agent to build an integrated product suite on your end? Well, today's guest, Matt Aitchison, is a real estate investor and real estate agent, but he also has built a really, really good integrated product suite that helps them best serve their clients. First of all, best serve those motivated house sellers in their area of Northern California, but also in a cluttered market like we're in today. We've talked about this a lot on a lot of episodes of the Caracast. We're in a cluttered market, lots of competition, okay? How do you make sure that every single lead that comes through to you, you have the best possible chance to earn revenue from and to help, to really serve? Well, that's by creating an integrated product suite, okay? And by doing that, you have multiple different ways to serve them. You have multiple different ways to earn revenue, not just a one-trick pony like most people. Whenever we see a new real estate investor who crushed it over the past 2 years go out of business today, this year, it's because they stuck with just one product offering, one way to earn revenue, and they ended up getting killed. So this episode is going to dive into what Matt does in his business to turn more leads into more deals, how he's doing multiple deals per month, 3 to 5 deals per month, but also how he's really magnified his revenue and his profits by building out a full business that can take care of all kinds of different things. He has one of the top real estate brokerages in California as well that he's partners in, but he spends no time doing it. So how do you do this in your business as well, where you don't have to quadruple your hours? You just have to be smarter with the way that we integrate different services into our products. All right. We do the same thing at Carrot. And it's actually a pretty darn significant source of revenue, but it's also a significant way that we best help our clients. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Matt Aitchison into the Caracast. We're going to talk about his story, his journey, and how he's created a massive integrated product suite into his house flipping business. Hey guys and gals, Trevor here with Carrot. And man, I've got a guest that Matt and I've been trying to get on together for a little while. And I'm so happy that we've been able to. We've been in contact for probably a couple of years, it seems like. And man, I just love his energy, love the stuff that he's doing in real estate, in several different parts of real estate. But also, he's got a great mindset. And those of you who listen to the podcast, who listen to the Caracast, you guys know I'm a sucker for mindset stuff. And I'd honestly rather talk about that stuff all day long than anything else. But happy to have our guest on today, Matt Aitchison.
Pleasure to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
For sure. So I'm going to give a quick little synopsis on kind of why you're here, first of all, and why you're on the Caracast.
Yeah.
But you're an investor, of course, in your company over there is Fast Cash Solutions. And you've also got a training program now where you're helping, of course, a lot of other people do what you're doing. And dude, you're doing some amazing stuff. So you're not just like this dude who started flipping houses last year and then like, yeah, I'm going to start selling stuff. No, you've been doing it for quite some time. You've been in real estate for a long time. We'll talk about that. But the reasons I brought you on here, which I'm excited about, is in this type of market we're in, where it's a cluttered market, you guys are doing stuff that's cracking through the clutter for your seller, right? You're able to present offers to sellers that are a lot more compelling than your average wholesaler house flipper by far. You bring a lot more credibility, and we're going to talk about how you're doing that. And also, you're using content in a good way right now, and we want to talk about that a little bit. So yeah, dude, really happy to have you on here. And before we dive into the meat Give people some perspective on where you are in life right now. Where are you with family stuff and business stuff right now?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's an honor to be here, brother. I've been following what you've been up to for the last, handful of years. And I've always been a big believer in model after others who are doing what you want to do at a high level. And you have, excelled in your space and the value you're adding to your community. So I want to commend you on that first and foremost.
Thanks, man.
For me, I always start with, I'm a father and a husband. I'm 28 years old. I've been investing since I graduated from college, and I got into real estate on the traditional realtor side for a few different reasons. I'd always been interested in real estate investing from way back when. My mom was actually dragging me to real estate investing seminars when I was like 12, 13, 14. And I saw these people up on stage showing these spreadsheets, all these big profits on the bottom line. I was like, man, I want to live a big life. I want to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so real estate investing was kind of planted in my head at a young age. But, fast forward, went through college and graduated, and I was starting to think of, what industry can really provide the lifestyle, the freedom and the flexibility where I can be my own boss. I can work with people, being that I enjoy, connecting and networking with other individuals. I wanted to be in a space where I could help people. So that was, important to me. And I wanted to be in an industry, in a space that had no ceiling of what I could accomplish, right? And whether that's income or accolades or whatever it may be. And so going down the list, it was checking the box with real estate, real estate, real estate, real estate. And then I started to do a little bit more digging, and I thought, well, if I really want to be in a space where I can create, large profits and income and make as much money as I possibly can, that's great. But what is a space that I can really generate true wealth, like long-term wealth? And so the mindset of being in real estate and chasing transactions and commissions began to be paired with investing, buy and hold or flipping or long-term assets. So that's what led me into real estate. And I built a real estate team, ranked 2 years, top 1,000 real estate teams by Wall Street Journal with a great friend of mine and business partner, Rachel Adams, who now just handles all of that side. And she runs that company. And then I refer basically all of my business over to her. So it's a passive income stream for me. I'm a partner in a construction company, being that, realtors have clients who need a lot of, remodeling needs. As a real estate flipper and building up that company and buying rental properties, whether it's on my rentals or on flip projects, construction needs. So I figured it would make sense to be involved in a construction company. So I have the traditional real estate, type model. I have the real estate investing model, and then the construction company. Those are kind of my three main pillars right now. Property management will probably come into play later on. But really, it was kind of going after Warren Buffett's idea and his model of where's the head of the snake, and then all of these ancillary businesses that if a client needs something, we have the ability to not only, one, provide an integrity-based service for them, but two, to generate some kind of revenue off of that. So that's where I'm at today. And my main focus now, my zone, my space that I play in is, one, I'm a real estate investor through and through. I eat, sleep, and breathe it 24/7, 365. But now I've gotten to a place over these last few years with some of the success that I've had with people saying, hey, teach me what you're doing. What are you up to? And so I never ever would call myself a guru whatsoever. I've just created a community that alongside one another, we can elevate each other. We can share experiences, our wisdom, the tools and resources that we know are proven and work. And for people that are interested in doing that, we're able to do it alongside one another from all around the country. So it's pretty fun.
Dude, and for me, we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, but for me, that's one of the most exciting things when you actually can hone a craft and then you can share it with other people and help them do the same thing. It's just so exciting, dude. So it's cool seeing you kind of pull out from behind your business a little bit and share it with other people so they can do the same thing. Dude, so to put it in perspective, so you've got these different businesses, which I want to dive into the actual strategy and when you rolled those out and how you did it. Just kind of piecemeal it for people so they can see the timeline. But what sizes your business right now? Like, are you Are you a solo dude and then you have a bunch of independent contractors? You have employees? Kind of what's that look like?
Yep. So on the real estate team, before I kind of exited that and really spent all my time in the investing business was, we were up to having on the largest scale, 10 agents working for us, buyer's agents, listing agent. Mm-hmm. We had 3 to 4 staff at one time. So really just your traditional real estate team, yeah. Right? Anybody that wants to buy or sell their house. And that was kind of the initial focus that I was, you know, spending a lot of my time and energy on early on in the business. Then in that process, as we were building up our book of business, I got linked up with one real estate investor that I actually ended up, before I was even licensed, working for them for almost like 10, 11 months, just getting mentorship, getting in the game, right? A lot of people are like, why am I going to go work for this person for free, or I don't have the time or energy for it? I can tell you that one relationship set me on a path that has made me hundreds of thousands of dollars and now millions of dollars that essentially I don't know if I would have ever found that path without them. And that mm-hmm. was a real estate flipper. So as I was building the traditional real estate business and we were building up a team over here, which essentially gave me leverage with my time and systems and resources, I was able to start playing over here, which was flipping houses and investing. And in the first few years when I was flipping houses, I was working with one contractor who was a younger guy, starting his business kind of at the same time. So there seemed to be some synergies there. And when I looked at how much business I brought him that year, mm-hmm. I knew his revenue model pretty well. And he was running at about a 20%, you know, profit model. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I'm going to just for an easy number, it was like $1.4 million yep. in construction that I'd sent over his way. And let's just say for $1 million at a 20% profit model, I basically put $200,000 in his pocket. Yep. And I thought, well, if I'm one account and I'm bringing $200,000 to that person, and this is going to be a business and a space and it supports all of the other businesses and activities I'm doing, I might want to consider maybe either being in a construction company or at least partnering mm-hmm. with a contractor. So that's kind of what led to that natural progression into that space. And, you know, I always look at it this way. I think a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, real estate, you know, entrepreneurs, we are very, everybody knows the term now, squirrel, right? We're very oh, yeah. just like distracted by all the shiny objects and this is sexy and that's sexy. And so we're constantly moving from one to the next. And I did that, you know, and I had some majestic failures along the way. I can share as many failures as you want to, because mm-hmm. Those are where the real learning lessons are at. But yep. I look at, for anybody that's thinking about, you know, do I get into this? Do I do that? First and foremost, are you a master in what you're already doing? Mm-hmm. Right? Like if you think about, you know, having a cup and pouring that cup, and at the top of that cup means you're at capacity and you're the master. A lot of people have one cup and they're only making it half full, and then they throw the next cup before it's even full. Gotcha. So wait till that cup's overflowing, throw the next one underneath it. And so that was kind of the progression that things started moving in, was going deep in the areas that I felt my strengths were in, doubling down on those, and then figuring out how I can leverage those in other spaces that might be complementary to what I'm doing.
Dude, I love it, because it's kind of a very similar thread in what we're doing with Carrot too, where we started out with one exact thing we offered, and then it's like, shoot, these people also need X. And we used to shove it off, same thing, dude, shove it off to other people because we didn't have that expert or the time to do it. And now, you know, we have all kinds of things under our umbrella, and we're looking at buying some companies right now too, where it's like, how do we better serve our clients? And dude, yeah. for me too, it's not just around the opportunity for the extra growth and revenue. It's like, I honestly think we can do it better, you know, and right. I think we can do it better. And I think we can serve our clients with a cohesive, better experience if it's all under the same umbrella. And it's going to make everything better. It's going to make our core business better. It's going to add these other things. We can grow our team. Anyway, dude, it's preaching yep. the choir here, but I love hearing it, 'cause that's something we've never talked about in the Carrot Cast. So I love it, dude. So you've got a team, which is great.
Yep.
And you've got the multiple different companies. Your main focus is flipping houses. So what are you doing right now? And you're in California. So what part of California, just to give perspective for people?
We're Northern California. So I flip anywhere from Silicon Valley all the way up to Lake Tahoe. But my bread and butter, our hub is our office is in downtown Sacramento.
Okay.
And we'll flip anywhere basically in Northern California. Have looked obviously outside of there and done stuff outside of there. Mm-hmm. But the reach that I have found that is most suitable to our business model and to providing the service, hitting the timeline, staying on budget, with all of the stuff we're doing, it's best to stay in proximity unless obviously you have an amazing team that you know is vetted and can obtain and uphold the standards that you've created within your organization.
And so share whatever you want to share. How many deals a month are you guys doing right now? If you don't want to share it, cool. But if you want to share it, awesome.
We're right around three, I would say, consistently.
Yep.
And then obviously that's not including buying rentals. Mm-hmm. So three is kind of the bread and butter.
So that's something I think is key, man. So a lot of people, when they get into any business, real estate, wholesaling, flipping, whatever it is, they're oftentimes kind of locked into that business model. I need to get a deal. I need to go get another deal. I need to go get another deal. So for you, you've got rental houses that you're also building up that portfolio. At what point, I guess, first of all, why are you doing that? And then second of all, do you have something in your brain where you're going, okay, once I get to X with my portfolio, then I will stop wholesaling and flipping? Or are you going to keep doing it?
So I'm a deal junkie. At the end of the day, I'm always looking for my next fix, man. I mean, I'm scratching my neck right now thinking about the next deal that I want to do. But it's because I love what I do, right?
Yep.
So you know you're in the right space when whether I had $50 million in my bank account or not, I'll still be hunting down deals. It's just the way I'm wired. It's what I love doing. And it's the environment that I enjoy playing in on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But for flipping, I have set certain goals around flipping. You know, flipping is vertical income. At the end of the day, I got to show up in order to make this happen, right?
Yep.
Then I look at my rentals. My rentals are horizontal income where I could go run off to Mexico for, you know, 2 months at a time and I'm still going to have income coming in whether I show up or not.
Mm-hmm.
So my vertical income, and this is just the season I'm at in my life. And I mean, I've been obsessed with my business over the last 5-6 years where I work damn near 80-90 hours a week, not because I have to, but because I love to, and because I'm looking to design and architect a certain lifestyle that will essentially create the financial freedom that I desire. So my goal with everything I do is to be a 100%er.
Mm-hmm.
And a 100%er is 100% of my passive income covers 100% of my living expenses. So just for easy numbers, if I was, you know, my mortgage payment, car payments, my health insurance, taking my wife out to dinner a couple of times, whatever your living expenses are every month, let's just say that's 5,000. If I was bringing in 5,000 a month from my passive income on my rentals, then I am essentially 100%er.
Mm-hmm.
I am financially free.
Yep.
So my goal is to continue flipping houses with the vertical income and using that vertical income to go out and buy assets that bring me in passive income.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get to my goal is to get to 25,000 in passive income a month, then to get to 50,000 in passive income a month. I want to be by the time I'm 35 at 100,000 in passive income a month.
Mm-hmm.
So basically be bringing in, and that's net. I'd like to net 1.2 million a year just off of passive income.
Yep.
That's my big kind of flyer, right? That's hanging out there that I'm chipping away towards. But then I've chunked that down into, okay, what do I need to do every year? How many flips do I need to do, which will equate to how many, you know, flips that I close on. I can take that revenue and go buy X amount of rentals, which based on X amount of rentals, bringing in X amount of income each month. Over time, as that gets paid off, if I'm bringing in, let's say, 100,000 a month in passive income, and I have, you know, 100 rentals that are worth, let's just say on average, 100,000, and they're paid off, I'm looking at a $10 million portfolio of pure equity plus 100,000 a month in passive income. So that's my focus. That's what I'm focusing on every day, but I'll continue to do what I do. I don't have a number where I'm going to say, yep, I'm stopping, because I love what I do. And I love the people I get to work with, the environment I get to create, and I'm nowhere close to being to where I want to be. So until I get there, I'm not looking elsewhere.
So what? So, man, I wasn't going to ask these types of questions before, but I know you're a mindset guy, and I think you'll appreciate some of them. But I always love kind of digging deep within the person, the entrepreneur or whatever. Man, my younger brother and I, we have another podcast called Success at Success that we kind of do sporadically, but we've had amazing people on there. We've had Ashton Eaton, you know, the reigning two-time Olympic gold medalist for the decathlon. He's coming on again. Nice. So we had him on like 2 weeks before the Olympics. Now we're going to have him on again post-Olympics. He lives not too far from me here. We've had on the head of all of Disney World, you know, on a podcast with the head of Dutch Bros, which is a $300 million a year company, here out of Oregon. I'm like, man, so I love kind of unpacking why they're doing certain things. So you mentioned some pretty big goals there, dude, which I love, because you've got to be thinking big in order to get anywhere. Mm-hmm. What's the reason why behind it? And this is kind of a deep, tough question, but so you mentioned the passive income goals, you mentioned, the hours that you're working right now. What is it that is driving you? Is it the number stuff, or is there something else that's driving, like Elon Musk, dude? He's got the Mars thing out there where he's got his numbers have to be huge to hit Mars and whatever else. What is it that's driving you so you're not burning out?
Yeah. So for me, you know, I'm sure you've heard the quote is, when the why is clear enough, the how gets legs, the how just shows up. Right. And so, for me personally, financial freedom is the number one driver. So essentially I can do what I want, when I want, with whom I want. Mm-hmm. And that's to create and design a lifestyle that my family can do that with me. Right. Mm-hmm. It's financial freedom for me is just a time thing. So I have the choice to choose where I spend my time. But right now I'm choosing to spend my time in this space because I absolutely love it.
Yep.
And mind you, I've scaled back in a lot of areas now that I have a daughter and I'm married, that's most important. So I want to make sure that I'm giving time and attention to that first. But that's my why from a personal standpoint. Mm-hmm. From, I guess, a social aspect, I'm going to have a total millennial answer here and say it's all about impact, right? Yeah. So for me, the more, you know, a lot of people have this negative stigma on money. Oh, you want this money because of X. Well, no, that's probably your own money story. Mine's a little bit different.
Yep.
So my money story is the more money I can create, the more I have left over beyond my 100% lifestyle, the more I can choose to allocate it towards causes, experiences, and individuals that I believe will have a ripple effect in life that I want to have some kind of DNA on.
Cool.
So that's really what drives me, is the more money I have, the bigger my platform, the bigger my soapbox, and the more influence that I can have for the people that I think deserve a larger impact or a helping hand. So I sit on the board of One Life Fully Lived, which is a charity that's all about just that. So I'm not only donating time, I'm also donating, you know, money. The more money I can donate, I've seen directly in great organizations with the right people at the helm, what kind of impact that can have. So for me, it's a millennial answer for sure, but it's impact. It's really, I want to be one of those individuals, whether you know me or you don't know me, the people that had some kind of, you know, tie to whatever it was that I was doing said, you know what, I'm better off for knowing him, or I'm better off for getting to experience something with him, or whatever it may be. I want that to be my reputation, my legacy that I leave behind.
Man, and so true. It's probably 3 or 4 years ago, I was watching a video, a live presentation down in Silicon Valley that another entrepreneur showed. And he was kind of showing, okay, your motivation oftentimes when you're getting going is the money, because your back is probably against the wall. You've got to get enough revenue coming in to pay the bills. And you've got these numbers in mind. Like, that's your main motivation. And then as soon as you start to hit these things, what happens is the numbers never end, right? So like if we're chasing numbers and we're tying our satisfaction to numbers, you're always going to be disappointed because numbers never end. As soon as you get, you know, like on the horizon thing, dude, the horizon, you can never reach the damn thing because it always moves on you.
Yeah.
So that's the same way that numbers are and revenue is. And what he was saying is like, so this is what happens. And then at this point in your career as an entrepreneur, something starts to flip in your brain. You're like, man, I hit those numbers. I hit those goals and I thought I was going to be like insanely happy and like on top of the world and whatever. Or I bought the car and I did this and like, oh, it's like, wasn't what I thought. And it starts to shift toward like, I want to do something. I want to like make a difference. And like, yeah. That's what they get excited about.
Yep.
And I know I made that shift, you know, several years back. And that's why we choose to continue to grow at Care, even though I'm way beyond the income goals that I had set way earlier. It's like, I don't even care about the income now. Well, So let me reverse. That's not being authentic, dude. I care about the income.
But,
it's one of those things that, We went beyond those numbers to where now we live within our means. So now it's like, how do we build this organization that does make an impact?
Yep.
And a quote that I've heard many times, and I was going to ask a follow-up question, but you answered it. I was going to say like, so what are you doing now to make an impact? And you said some things. I'm like, that's amazing because money amplifies who you already are. And yep. the more that you can grow, that's awesome, dude. I love it.
Yeah. I was spending some time with, Jeff Hoffman, the founder of Priceline, mm-hmm. sold it for multi billions of dollars. It's, you know, valued at $60 billion today.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff said, there's no shame in making money as long as you choose to do good with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think the more money that the great people can make, it's only going to go to the right places.
Yep.
So I want to be one of those individuals.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I love it. So I'm going to shift a little bit to the real estate side. And if people are watching the video version of the Carrot Cast, you see,
probably when are you guys going to start talking about some real estate stuff?
So if people that are used to the Carrot Cast, man, they're used to this because I made a very conscious decision when I started the Carrot Cast. Like I was agonizing over doing a podcast for years. One of our team members 2 years ago was like, you need to do a podcast. And I go, I don't want to do a podcast because I don't want to talk about SEO and conversion, all that stuff all day long. I don't know what I would talk about every week about that stuff.
Right.
And then I made the mindset shift about 8 months ago. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start with just talking about what I want to talk about. You know, talking about mindset stuff and entrepreneurs and unpacking story. And if we get into real estate stuff, sweet. You know, we'll get into some real estate stuff. But, and people resonate with it, man. Like every time I go somewhere where people are listening to it, they always mention the episodes that have nothing to do with real estate that they enjoy the best. I love it.
Yeah.
But if you guys are watching the video version, I do have a solo cup. I actually had an orange one earlier. And this one actually is water. Yeah, that one's water. So you're being a good boy. This one, it's Beer Thursday today. So one of our team members walked the beer in. It's like, I have to accept it, right? So
yeah, you can't turn that down.
So let's dive into some real estate stuff now. So you're churning some deals. You've got the different companies going. You're in a competitive market. So you're not like you're not in North Dakota or something like that. So, what are you guys doing right now to get your business? Like what's working to get leads to close the deals?
Yeah, you know, it definitely felt the market, the deal flow constrict as the market goes up, more people coming in, more people, like you said, have equity in their homes, so they're not necessarily in hardships or desperate situations. So just like any great investor, any great business, you, in order to continue to thrive, you have to be able to shift and stay ahead of the curve. So, I'm still doing my bread and butter direct mail marketing. A lot of that is to what I have found kind of my little niche and space in, which is absentee owners, usually the, you know, distressed landlord that's tired of either dealing with a crappy tenant or is just, you know, beyond their means of being able to manage it or, you know, financial hardship, whatever it may be. The absentee owner's kind of been my bread and butter. On the direct mail. Then I have my online website that, you know, we do pay-per-click, generates a couple acquisitions a year from that. And I would say between direct mail and agent relationships is probably my two biggest sources. One is obviously requires a good chunk of capital every single month, being that we're sending out a good amount of mailing pieces. The second one is free. But kind of, I almost compare the two of these to pay-per-click and SEO, right? One is upfront capital, and you're going to generate results from it and get calls right away. The other one takes some time, takes some massaging, you know, takes planting the seed and watering that and nurturing it and seeing it grow. And that's how I look at the relationships I've built over the last 6 years with realtors and wholesalers and bird doggers in my community. So those are, I would say, my three pillars that bring in the most deal flow. Occasionally I'll get, you know, an attorney who sends me a deal. We'll maybe stumble into something on the MLS, but I don't even look at the MLS really anymore as much, besides kind of having my keyword search nets out there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I want to get to off-market sellers. I want to get to off-market deals before the competition gets there, because we all know once everybody else finds out about it, that's generally where it gets, you know, the ceiling gets raised up, the margin gets squeezed out. And it makes it a lot harder to compete. So I like to go where, you know, people aren't fishing necessarily, and use the correct bait that allows me to capture that lead first.
So a couple questions. Direct mail, which we just did an episode on your podcast where we talked about direct mail a little bit. And and it's working great, right? So absentee owners, and once again, share what you're going to share. Tell me you're not going to share if I ask you another question.
I'm transparent, brother. Open book.
Dude, so where are you getting your list at? And just what's the basic type of thing you're sending out? Is it yellow letters? Is it postcard? Is it a series of stuff? Kind of what are you doing?
Yep. So for me, I get my list, one, from being in California. I recently, not too long ago, found out that not all title companies are like this. We get free lists from our title companies. So I utilize their services and some of their technologies to get specific niche lists based on, hey, I want, you know, X zip code. They've owned it for 10 or more years. They're sitting at 80%, you know, in equity. Or I want, you know, the 30, 60, 90 day lists on, you know, someone who's about to face pre-foreclosure, whatever it may be. So we get it from either title companies. I have been a big fan and user of Property Radar, for previously Foreclosure Radar, now Property Radar, for quite some time, and they've done a really good job of evolving their search system. If you're on the East Coast or, you know, Midwest, you don't necessarily get the luxury of using them, because I think they're only in like 6 or 7 states here on the West Coast. And then there's a couple other different sites that give you, you know, the vacant homes or Motivated Sellers Now. .com. So we use some of those, but I would say consistently, you know, I don't do the shotgun approach as much as I used to. Now I'm trying to really niche down and make sure that whatever, I don't do yellow letters. I know a lot of people do. I personally want to represent myself as a professional brand. I don't want to come off as, hey, I'm your neighbor Chuck, and I want to, you know, offer you my yellow letter, and I'll buy your house for cash, or me and my wife are doing this or that. That's it works for some people, so I'm not knocking it whatsoever. Yeah. But my direct mail pieces are very professional, letterhead, and we have very strategic call to actions. One, highlight the pain point in the initial, you know, communication. Provide what is our service, why they may want to use us, what's the call to action, highlight the pain point, highlight the pain point, highlight the pain point. And then it's got my, you know, professional signature, and we'll send out about 5,000 of those a month.
Sweet. So a lead calls in, and in this type of market, man, I was talking with one of our clients the other day, and in this type of market, of course, with all the competition, all the options, you know, they're even saying sometimes they'll call them 15 minutes later and like, shoot, they already talked to one of the investors and they locked something down or whatever.
Yep.
And so what are you guys doing in the follow-up? Do you guys have a call center taking stuff? Are you taking stuff? What are you guys doing once someone calls in or opts in? What happens?
Yeah. So for me, all the numbers in our call fire are tagged, so I know what kind of direct mail number they're calling from, what campaign they're calling from. But they come to me. And so when I say I'm a deal junkie, I'm a freaking deal junkie. This is the last part of the business that I just don't want to let go of, because I feel like if I'm going to double down in my strength zone, when I kind of mapped out my entire business and I mapped out how many hours I spent in the business that year and how much net income I made that year and what my hourly rate was, a couple hundred dollars an hour. If I am giving away potentially the largest income producing activity, then there better be something better out there that has more margin. Yep. Well, I haven't found that in my business yet. So me answering calls, negotiating with sellers, is probably my biggest strength. So I want to stay in my strength zone, double down in my strength zone. So they all come to me. I fill out my lead intake sheet. I go through, you know, my normal scripting and really finding out what's their motivation, what's their pain point. Is this, you know, just somebody looky-loo? Is this somebody who may be better suited for a retail lead? Is this someone heavily motivated and I need to drop everything right now because they're going to make a decision today? Mm-hmm. And I personally, based on my experience of having virtual assistants taking in calls, and I've tried a lot of different models, the best one that results to the highest conversions, which essentially leads to the best revenue generating opportunities for me and my business, is for me to answer the phones. Mm-hmm. So that's where I have stayed in that space and stayed in that seat. One, because I enjoy it. Two, it checks off a lot of the boxes for me of getting to help and provide sellers a service, and is a great way of building a brand and a reputation around my brand. And so that's where I answer those calls after the lead gets taken in. It's generated a profile in our database, and then we follow up with the necessary information in that profile, set our tasks and our to-dos. So when it comes time to follow back up with that lead, mm-hmm. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be saying, who I'm supposed to be talking to, what questions I'm supposed to be asking. And I can tell you, man, the follow-up system, I think, is one of the biggest things that investors drop the ball on. I've closed deals from years prior to just having them either on a drip campaign or just randomly making a to-do. Mm-hmm. And I follow up with them 6 months or a year later, and something happened or something changed. So I'm a big believer in having complete profiles in your database, mm-hmm. and having systems for how you mine your database, because I look at my database like my data bank. There is gold in there all day long. It's just up to me to go out and massage it, build rapport with those people, and continue to develop relationships. Because when the time comes that they're looking to sell, I want them to think of me, whether it's a motivated seller that wants a cash offer, or it's somebody that is, you know, just wanting to sell their house.
Yep.
I want to have that opportunity to generate some kind of income from that lead. Every lead equates to some kind of dollar amount.
And that's the thing, you touched on something really important, man, that there's the decision process that people go through. And even though they reach out to you, it doesn't mean that they're ready at that moment to take action on something. They might be kind of gathering information. And man, I was talking with Adrian on our team just this past week, and he was saying, I don't remember what the number was. I'd be making stuff up if I gave a number right now, but there was a certain percentage of people. He's like, man, in our drip sequence, same thing. It's the thing that's working the most right now, because most people aren't doing it right. We have so much competition where they're working their butts off on getting the lead. The lead comes in and they're completely just falling down on it. And they think that the Super Bowl is getting the lead, when that's like game one in preseason, you know, it's like getting the lead. Then it's like, how do you intake it? How do you walk them through the process? How do you follow up on it? Yep. Another one of our Carrot members was saying that one thing that they do every single time, every 6 months, and I'm not sure if they've ramped it up to every quarter now, but it was every 6 months at the time, they take all of their quote unquote dead leads, and they take them and they will then do a follow up with them. So it's either a phone call, it's either a text message broadcast to everyone, or a direct mail piece, or all of the above. And he said every single time they pull out one to two deals from it every time.
Oh, yeah.
And the follow up's so big. So that's cool. You guys are doing a bunch of stuff there.
Well, a lot of investors, they treat this like it's a hobby. Mm-hmm. And they call themselves an investor, but you want to look at the investors that are year in, year out. Who cares what's going on in the market? Year in, year out, the ones who are netting multi six figures, seven figures, are the ones who treat their real estate investing business like just that, mm-hmm. a business. They run it with follow-up systems, with databases, with professionalism. There's a strategy and a method behind every single madness mm-hmm. that is going on within their organization. And a lot of people just think that, you know, the low-hanging fruit is going to be what sustains them over the long term. And when you get into tight markets, you get into, you know, different situations, it's the ones who treat their business like a business that are the ones who excel, thrive, and essentially sustain over mm-hmm. the long term. So that's how I've always looked at everything that I do, is how can we continue to, one, make this a scalable and a systematized business, but mm-hmm. two, how can we continue to set ourselves apart from the competition, when you said, right, it's a cluttered space. So mm-hmm. Whether that's how I intake my leads, whether that's how I follow up with my leads, whether that's how I do a walkthrough at an appointment, what I'm wearing and my branding and my marketing and I mean everything. It's a lot to take in, but I can promise you if you give it the time and attention that it needs and deserves, you will be light years ahead of the other individuals who are just practicing and becoming, you know, real estate investors as a side hobby.
And that's one thing I think as we're talking through some of this stuff here, and we talked about competition, we talked about clutter, we talked about all that stuff. One thing I want people to recognize is that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. It's there's a lot of clutter, but there's certain ways to crack through it, like Matt's mentioning here. And as long as you're the person cracking through it, that's not a big deal because most people don't want to put in the work to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, most don't. So there's only as much clutter. It's kind of like this, right? So if you look outside and it's a cloudy day today, which happens in Oregon in the winter, so it's a cloudy day today, and below the clouds there's tons of clutter down there. There's people, there's houses, there's trees, there's birds, there's clouds, all kinds of mist and rain and crap, right? You get above the clouds, there's no clutter at all. And that's what happens with an investor or an entrepreneur who chooses to raise above the clouds, who chooses to go, okay, I'm not just going to do the minimum. I'm not just going to get the lead and then put in the minimum and try to outsource everything because I think that's how it's got to be done. Like you're digging in and getting some of the nitty gritty done and you're choosing to raise above that. You're choosing to build credibility in there. And then once you get up there, it's like the viable options that your clients have to work with. It's not 45 now. It's now like probably 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. And then you just have to then be the best one there. So kind of talking about decluttering. I know you've been doing a lot of content, both for your real estate business, actually, and not. You've got several podcasts. You've got content that you're doing. I've seen you on Instagram, dude. You're showing properties and all kinds of stuff. So on the real estate investor side, and I know this is kind of relatively new, but what are you doing on the content side of things? And why did you start doing content on the investor side?
For a couple different reasons. Two, just to continue building my brand, mm-hmm. right? I can't tell you how many deals have been brought to me in the last few months because people go, man, you know, I see you're flipping and you're doing this and you're doing that. And this has been, I was only doing really Facebook kind of content marketing before. Mm-hmm. Now we're doing, you know, a lot more on a lot of different platforms. But even before, people go, hey, I saw that you flipped this house, whether it was an agent in my network or it was, I had a girl that I went to college with and she goes, hey, my mom's sister just passed away. Their property's going through probate and they're going to want to sell. I thought of you. Are you still flipping houses? Yeah, of course I am. Right. So it's really to continue to expand my brand and my platform. And then the second reason why I started doing it is the whole reason why I started the Millionaire Mindcast podcast, which is essentially just to give back and empower more people with tools and resources and a community like what you guys have is to associate with other like-minded individuals who align with my mission and my message. Yep. And for me, as a younger investor, there are what I have seen very many archaic approaches to real estate investing. Now, same models, same strategies, right? Not a lot of that is changing. Yep. Maybe a few different variables like internet and tech coming into play, changing the landscape a little bit. But there was also just a mindset and approach to real estate investing that it just didn't sit well with me. Mm-hmm. And I have always been, both of my parents have drilled into my head for a very long time, integrity and ethics, integrity and ethics, integrity and ethics. Yeah. And when you talk about real estate investing, you hear maybe 50-50, maybe more one side or the other. Oh, you know, this slimy real estate investor did this, or this person was predatory in that, or this. And for me, I was just like, there's got to be a different way, right? Mm-hmm. There can still always be a way to find a win-win, whether it's how you negotiate and present offers, whether it's how you deal with contractors, whether it's how you, you know, work with your realtor. No matter what it is, there's always that win-win. It's up to us to find out what that is by asking the right questions mm-hmm. and determining based on those questions and answers how we respond. Mm-hmm. And so when I started putting out more content, I just wanted it to be authentic, transparent, obviously empowering for people, mm-hmm. but also to send out a message of like, hey, you can do this with super high integrity, have, you know, crazy ethics, good ethics, crazy good ethics, and still have a whole hell of a lot of fun doing it and make a good living at it. And mm-hmm. so that's why I'm doing that. And obviously I have my investment community, of the six-figure flipper community, where mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I'm modeling that and I'm being my own best success story at yeah. what I'm preaching, right? You see a lot of people pitching products and selling content marketing, and I'm a life coach, right? And then their life is in shambles behind the scenes, but they're over yeah. here trying to coach somebody else to having this amazing, brilliant life. So yeah. I wanted to make sure that I'm walking my talk, like my video, what's playing out in my life in real life is matching my audio and what's mm-hmm. coming out of my mouth. So I, that's the reason why I'm doing it. And I'm a big believer, like what I was saying to you earlier, is that online is, this is the new space, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's content marketing is king. If you can get out quality content, if you can provide value to people and you can do it consistently over an extended period of time, you are going to carve out, mm-hmm. That opportunity to be the king of the hill. And yep. so when people think of, you know, real estate investors in Northern California and eventually nationwide, I want my name to be in that hat.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I love it, because once you get to that point, and as you grow, of course, it kind of goes in circles. First, you're going to kind of dominate this little circle. Then it gets broader. Then it gets broader again. And the cool thing is, I mean, it makes it so much easier to build your business when you do that. You have referrals coming your way. You have people who want to work with you. And we get that all the time now, where they just see the overall bubble of what we've created with content. And then it starts to create this aura of, oh my gosh, we need to work with this person. And that's not easy. I'm not going to say it's easy at all. Your first probably 6 months that you do it, you're probably, oh my gosh, why am I doing this?
Oh, you have no idea how many times I put out a video. I'm like, what a turd. Why did I say that? Yeah. Why did I look that way? Why did I do this? But to be honest, I mean, you know this. People want to do business with people they know, like, and trust, mm-hmm. especially in this space, right? Yeah. When we're talking about just a cold product that someone can buy and they can, you know, go unwrap it in the privacy of their own home, that's one thing. But mm-hmm. when you're talking about large decisions, like we're talking about in the exchange of ownership in real estate,
yeah.
people's, you know, pride and joy, sometimes their life, they want to know that they're doing business with someone who's got integrity, someone that they know, like, and trust, someone that they can relate to. Mm-hmm. And video is a very great way of bridging that gap. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, as more people continue to come online, more people continue to rely on the online information to get the services and the information and the relationships that they need. I want to make sure that I'm on the front of that wave and I'm riding that wave versus coming in on the back end of it and trying to catch it when it's fading.
Dude,
or there's already too many people riding it.
Exactly, man. So I've got one more question for you. And I mean, I could talk with you all day long. So this is good stuff. So I've got one more question for you. So you have the agent side of things. You've got the construction company. You got the house flipping business. And in a business like, or in a market like this, like we talked about before, where sellers have all kinds of options, they have the option to sell fast retail. They have other options for house buyers. You guys are doing something, and it's not unique to you. There's other people doing it, but it's a very small percentage of you guys that have finally, like, you've been doing it for a while, but have, like, said, this is the market we're in. This is how we best serve the seller. And this is how we best get the most amount of deal and revenue out of this. And there's so many people that are still trying to put every single lead they get into a bucket of, I only wholesale this.
Yep.
So what are you guys doing when you get a lead, when you get leads in, you're presenting multiple different options and offers. And to me, that is part of what is kind of your magic right now. Yep. So what are you guys doing?
Yeah, well, you know, when I real estate team, investment company, construction company.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking with this ancillary, you know, mindset that I was having of, okay, how can I cross pollinate or how can I generate multiple revenue opportunities? But most importantly, how can I provide the person that I'm working with more than one option, right? Because mm-hmm. Your average wholesaler or your average investor is going to go, I buy houses for cash. Here's my offer. Take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the nice thing about having a couple different businesses, and you don't even need to have these businesses set up to do this strategy, is I wanted to provide them with more than one option to determine what makes the most sense for them.
Mm-hmm.
When we were going back to integrity, I was going, you know, if I'm just going to provide them with one option, you know, how can I extend that platform of integrity and give them maybe two or three options that may make sense for them based on their situation? So there's multiple different conversations that I'm having with the homeowners that I'm talking with. And based on what they tell me about their house, for example, if it's, you know, a house that may need a tiny bit of love, but it could go on the retail market and they could make more, I'm going to tell them that because I have the ability to send them over to the real estate team, put a sign in the yard, do an open house, get an offer for highest and best. They, you know, make their money. We get our commission. Okay. That's one revenue opportunity. Or if, you know, I say, okay, well, I think, you know, based on your situation, listing the house on the retail market might make the most sense for you. However, I know that if you don't want to hire a realtor, pay the commissions, negotiate with the buyer, have the potential of the deal falling out of escrow, and you just want a quick, fast, easy close guaranteed, I can provide you with a cash offer. No real estate commissions. We're buying it as is. We cover all the closing costs. So whatever we offer you is going to be a net offer. And you might make a little bit less, but your sanity and your time may mean more to you than putting it on the retail market. So here's two options for you. Now, also, if you think that you may want to, you know, renovate your house and you have a little bit of cash, we can have our contractors come over and give you a bid on it based on what we think you should do to the home in order to get it up to this comp, right? So I go into kind of flipping mode again of here's what your ARV will be after we fix it up. You're going to get a return on that $20,000 that you put into your property because it's going to bump your listing price up by 60K. So I give them that on, or don't be a landlord anymore, but you still really like the passive income. Why don't you, you know, maybe consider, would you be open to considering carrying seller financing or carrying paper on this? So, you know, that's just a quick overview, but I go into some in-depth scripts and options with these individuals. And I can't tell you how many times I get, and it's, and this is how I know we're onto something is because I'll get sellers go, I've talked to X amount of people or I've gotten X amount of letters and I have never had a conversation with an investor that's given me more than one option. So thank you for that, right? So immediately their guard is almost down and we're having a completely different conversation. If you're a realtor and, you know, you're sending a marketing piece to somebody and you're saying, you know, let me list your house and here, let me get you a CMA on it. It's a completely different conversation if I'm having the conversation with them and saying, let me buy your house for cash without any of the commissions, closing costs on your time frame, and we buy it as is. Or, you know what? How about if you don't want to do that, though, I can have my real estate team get you comps on your house and see what it would look like from a net perspective of what you'd make if we were to put it on the retail market. How does that sound for you? And so you're almost like bringing them psychologically in a completely different door. And instead of me having the, I'm going to list your house conversation, I'm having the first wealth building conversation of, can I buy your house for cash? Two, if that doesn't work for you, here's another option. And we're right back to square one, which is listing their house. So there's multiple revenue opportunities from very different perspectives. If you choose to have the right conversation, present them based on, you know, the correct options out of integrity, what might make the most sense for them. And they do the choosing instead of you doing the steering.
Dude, psychology wise too, is kind of looking at sales psychology. So, we found over the years consulting too, right? So whenever I would present a consulting offer with one option, there was a certain percentage who would take and a certain percentage who wouldn't. And, what we started to do on the consulting side was we would always present two to three offers and we would kind of frame them in a way. So they guided toward the one that I wanted them to take. And it usually worked, but as soon as we started presenting multiple options, the take rate went way up. And psychology wise, you think about that. And it's not necessarily that you presented more options, that you gave them more things to choose from. That's why they chose it. It's because now their decision goes from either I work with you or I don't, or which one of these options with you should I choose? So it's a completely different psychological choice. Once again, it's either I work with you or I don't, or flipping it to which one of these should I choose when I work with you. So really powerful stuff, dude. And if you guys are in any market right now, especially a hot market, and you're not doing something like this, you guys are definitely leaving revenue on the table. You're definitely leaving a good amount of deals and profits on the table. And you might be going, well, I'm not an agent. Matt is. Well, I don't care. Like, this is a market we've got to do. Either go out there and get your license or team up with an agent and find some way legally to share in revenue. You got to make it happen in this market. Because there's a lot of people who want to sell retail, and you've got to be able to then monetize that to keep your business alive. As the market then shifts, where it goes back to where retail is harder to sell, then you're going to be buying a lot of houses again. So just kind of shift the model, listen to what Matt's saying here, and implement it. So dude, one final parting thing here. First of all, really appreciate you hopping on here and carving out the time.
Oh, anytime.
Enjoy having these conversations. I know you shared a lot of really good nuggets, and hopefully people go and implement them. But what's next for you? What's next for the rest of this year? Kind of looking at the end of the year and then looking back, what is going to be making this year successful for you?
Yeah, so I have always focused on getting one home run a year. So that's a six-figure, a multi-six-figure type deal. So I have one of those currently in the works up in the Berkeley Hills overlooking the Golden Gate Bridge of San Francisco.
I saw a picture of that one, dude. That one was sweet.
Yeah, so that's we'll be selling that north of $2 million. So that'll be a big boy. That'll kind of be one of those really customized development type projects. Mm-hmm. But just keeping my bread and butter going. You know, I'm a base hit kind of guy, and I'll hit a double and a triple here and there. So what will make this year successful is to get, you know, in between that 40 to 50 flip range and do that, which I'm behind the curve on that right now, but we're picking up a lot of momentum, and just staying tight to my model and my criteria, which I think the model, I think the market's going to stay relatively strong or at least hold steady, and I'm keeping my model in and out kind of type projects, and then I'll have my one or two flyers, my big boys here and there. So that's one, and then just continuing to expand and grow the six-figure flipper community, which is all about empowering other people to utilize integrity-based strategies and models that will essentially lead you to financial freedom, create vertical income that allows you to go out and buy horizontal income. So that's those are the two main, you know, areas that I'm really looking to continue to double down on, focus on, and just keep adding as much value as I can in that process.
Another big thing this year, man, you're having a second baby. So that
My wife would smack me upside the head if I didn't throw that in there.
That's right. You cannot leave that out. So where can people find more about you? I know you've got Six Figure Flipper, some of your other podcasts, man. Where can people find out about you if they want to dive in with what you're doing?
Yep. Anybody can find me on Facebook, Matty Aitchison. You can go to mattaitchison.com, which is where I host the Millionaire Mindcast podcast and six-figure flipper content and blogs and videos, stuff like that. I'm also on YouTube. But easiest way is I'm always on Facebook, or you can shoot me an email at matt@myfastcashsale.com.
Sweet. Matt, thank you very much, man. Have an amazing rest of the week. I love it. Let's connect again. And everyone, make sure you take away at least one nugget from what Matt mentioned. There's several really, really good things you can take away from there. And go implement them this week. If you don't, this whole hour you spent with us is just like you're a librarian. You're cataloging information, not doing anything with it. So go out there and do something, guys and gals. Come back to the Carrot Cast. Check out our other episodes at carrotcast.com. And we will talk to you next time. Now, in this episode of the Carrot Cast, there's kind of two ends of the spectrum, right? On other episodes, we've talked about focus. You know, with Mike Michalowicz, the author of The Pumpkin Plan, we talk about focus. We talk about focusing on that one big thing and trimming off all the distraction. On this episode, we kind of talked about what I led into at the start of an integrated product suite. I know that's not what Matt had called it during the interview, but that's what it is. It's finding several different ways to best serve your clients that are synergistic, that add different parts to your business. Now, what do you do with these two kind of almost conflicting schools of thought? Well, first of all, I honestly don't think that they are too awfully conflicting, even though some people may. They may say, well, shoot, you know, on one hand, you're telling me to focus on one hand. On another hand, you're saying, hey, build out these other divisions of your business. And that's not what we're saying at all. What we are saying is focus on the one big thing. Focus on that thing that is going to be the biggest opportunity in your business. But then make sure you're finding other ways that are synergistic to help those prospects or help those clients in ways that maybe your core product doesn't. Because if you're able to go out there and now half of your leads you can do something with versus 10%, you've just possibly doubled your revenue or at least added a significant portion to your bottom line. All right. So go out there. What is it that you can bolt on to your current product offering? If you're just flipping houses, if you're just wholesaling, where do your prospects have to go in order to solve parts of their problems? Or where does the prospects that leave and don't end up working with you, where do they go? Is there something there that you can offer? Is there someone you can team up with? Is there a real estate agent or mortgage brokerage or title company or, you know, whatever it is, a credit repair company, construction company that you guys can partner up with and find some way to help each other, find some way to share revenue back and forth legally. Okay. Like, so we do it here at Carrot, and it's added up to multiple six figures per year in revenue with no extra work on our end. Just finding out what our prospects best need, the ones that we're not able to fully help them with our core product, and then going out there and finding the best people to help serve them or developing it in-house and delivering that solution to them. Okay. So think about that this week. Create your own integrated product suite this year. All right. Now, have you had a chance to listen to any other episodes of the Carrot Cast? Thousands and thousands, actually tens of thousands, have and do. And we would really appreciate it. If this is your first episode of the Carrot Cast, head over to carrotcast.com and check out the other episodes. We've interviewed some of the top real estate investors, now agents in the country. We've interviewed some of the top content marketing and lead gen experts in the country. And also, I'm a mindset guy. I absolutely love mindset and digging into mindset in a big way with these high achievers. Each and every episode, we dig into mindset. We dig into their story and how they got there. So if you enjoyed this episode, if you enjoy the Carrot Cast, share it around. Share it with someone that you think will get a lot of value from it. And also head over to iTunes and give us a rating. Just give us a quick rating over there. That's what kind of helps me make sure I know I'm on the right track. All of your ratings and reviews over there. And let me know about it on Facebook too. I'm easy to find. All right. So that would be my big ask for you this week. If you got some value out of this, it'll add at least $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 to your business this next year or two. Let us know that you got some value out of it. And also for those of you who are like, man, awesome stuff, but here's some feedback. Shoot it through to me. You know, give me a comment on the bottom of this on our website, or give me a comment in iTunes, or shoot it my way directly in Facebook. Okay. I'm crazy open to constructive criticism and feedback because I'm not a professional interviewer, but I'm always looking to learn to make things better. All right. So go out there, listen to the Carrot Cast, share it around, and also check out Carrot. If we can help you grow your business leveraging the web, we would love to do so. Just go to oncarrot.com/plans and check out the plan that best fits your business. We've got awesome episodes coming up soon. Check back, subscribe on iTunes, and we'll talk next time.